Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus. us to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
My joy, all that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire at night when nights are long and cold. Sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm motherless, your hand is there to hold. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, that's good and perfect. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Richard Smallwood, this morning. And Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are moving right along this morning. I wanted to bring in Bishop G.E. Patterson, one of his old recorded messages. And I wanted the total message this morning. I was thinking I had downloaded the total message, but I think I only downloaded a portion of it. So bear with me. We are going to get Bishop up and running so we can hear the word for the day. Hallelujah. We thank God for yesterday, Easter Sunday. Some are calling it, some call it Resurrection Sunday. And I'm grateful unto Almighty God. Thank him for good food. He fed me twice yesterday. And the Easter dinner, the Resurrection Sunday dinner. And I had a good time with good friends. And I was able to go to the prison, you know, was able to take my granddaughter to work yesterday and everything. So I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And some weeks I get to go to two different prisons. So we just thank God. We just thank God. And we're moving right along this morning. Going to one more song of the morning. We heard Bishop Patterson preach. Bishop Patterson. You know, I'm thinking about him and that message. But Pastor Mark Hinton, we heard that prayer of faith this morning. And there's none like Almighty God. Without him, we can do nothing. And I want to announce this on Wednesday. I believe we have a live guest coming. And I could be wrong. I think she's in Australia. But I got to check it again. And I'm going to put her bio up and everything, hopefully today. And this woman loved the Lord. She really loved the Lord. And so I wanted to bring her and let her share her testimony and let her talk about the goodness of the Lord and what he's done for her. So we're going to have that going on. And Tuesday, I won't be here. I have an early, early morning appointment. So I won't be here. But we pray that I'm back on Wednesday with this special live guest. And we'll see what God does the rest of the week. Because if he says to say, even on Friday, testify Friday day, I may not be here this Friday. I just got to see how the Lord moves. And what he said, hallelujah. And then we go right along with the flow. Got some stuff to tell y'all. I'll tell you later. I was able to go out to the flea market this weekend. And I just enjoyed it. Just enjoyed it out there with Thelma. She helped me a whole bunch. And I'm telling you, I am just blessed to have good friends. Erica cooked for me Friday and Sunday and came to the flea market on Saturday. Yeah. So I'm just blessed with good friends. Good friends stopped by Jerry and dropped some items off to her. And just blessed to have good friends. Blessed to have good friends. And I thank God for that. Local. Because I have some really excellent friends, but we don't all live in the same city or the same state. But I thank God for this handful that lives right here and the things that they do. For me, or should I say does for me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Let's go and listen a little bit of rap this morning. When he set me free. I love this one here by Russ Taff. I love this one. Try to run. Okay, right there. All right.
I wouldn't believe. Since you were in Sunday school, you have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are: trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know, you memorized them in Vacation Bible School or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now, we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. Don't feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now. You're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he was a longtime navigator, and Lauren said, "Tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust?" The old man said, "Well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet." You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone. If you're married, God, help my spouse and me to trust you, to lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake, twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. We were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little kind of got on their feet and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area. And they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go, usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. It's, everything is lost. All possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, we realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served. They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. And the Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
Come on, let's touch the sky.
Right there too. I love it. All right, we're going in with Bishop G. Patterson this morning, and the title of this message is Lord Save Me. Hallelujah. Lord Save Me. Bishop G. Patterson. Okay, wait a minute, y'all. Orchestra. They have an orchestra in there and the choir singing to the orchestra. So we're trying to get to the word this morning. And we get there. We get on down there. I guess they had
go. Everywhere I be, I know Jesus is mine. Oh, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Oh, everywhere I go, everywhere I be, I know Jesus is mine. Oh, in trouble, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Oh, everywhere I go, everywhere I be, I know Jesus. Oh, in sickness, Jesus
another singing ministry, but as I said here at Temple of Deliverance, we appreciate modern day gospel music, but we don't ever want to lose the flavor of the old church. Amen. Because that's what brought us along. Back in the day when I was a youngster growing up. And I don't want our young people to grow up without knowing it. Amen. Thou carest, Lord. Thou carest, Lord. Thou carest, Lord. For me. Oh, why should I fear since thou art near? Thou carest, Lord. Verse 22, and we'll read verses 22 through verse 33. And I want to again share with you from the Word of God. If you have it, amen. Chapter 14, beginning with verse 22, shall we read it aloud together? And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And may the Lord add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his glorious word. I certainly want you again to focus your attention upon verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And these three words are the words that we wish to pitch our mental tents around today. Lord, save me. Now, I recognize that there are many persons in the building that automatically would reject that phrase because you say that you made that cry many years ago when you were living in sin and you cried out to the Lord for salvation and he saved you, and now you no longer have to have those three words in your vocabulary. But the fact is that we are constantly involved in situations in which we need the salvation, which is the deliverance of the Lord, and no one but he can save us out of some situations that we find ourselves in. Somebody that's listening to me now, you're involved in a situation that involves your health. And the doctors have already said that they've done all that they can do. And now if healing or if deliverance is to come, if salvation is to come, it must come from a power that is higher than those in the medical profession. Somebody is in the midst of an economic situation, and you don't understand yourself how it happened. The word beginning to sink seems to indicate that Peter did not just all of a sudden drop out of sight from atop the water to under the water, but it was a gradual going down. And somebody that's looking at me now, you can remember when you had all of your bills paid and you were able to buy some things, a few luxuries, still had money left over. But now you're finding it just a little bit of a struggle to make ends meet. And you are crying, Lord, save me. Tried working harder, tried even adding on a second job, but it still is not saving you economically. And somebody would say, well, preacher, why would you even offer Jesus as the source of salvation from economic disaster? Simply because the Bible tells me that all things, it doesn't matter what I need. We used to sing it, all that I need is in Jesus. He satisfies, joy he supplies, life would be worth it without him. What? All things in Jesus I find. Even Paul says it in Philippians 4:19. Amen. You all know that one by heart, don't you? He tells us that my God shall supply. And that little three-letter word, A-L-L, includes everything and excludes nothing. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And I don't fully understand it either, because I know when we talk about heaven, we talk about a spiritual realm, but yet we talk about a city, a holy city of the New Jerusalem. And even though we may be alluding to a spiritual realm, they tell me that there's some physical wealth there, that the walls are made out of jasper, and that the gates are made out of pearl, and that the streets are paved with gold. And so all of the riches of glory are at our disposal, but the way that we tap into heaven's riches is through Christ Jesus. And he told us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, speaking of material things, shall be added unto you. So whether it be for the salvation of the soul, salvation from an adverse situation, we can cry out to him, Lord, save me. And you may have been saved 35 or 40 years, but I'm sure you've seen some situations where you had to call again and tell him, Lord, save me. This is one of the beautiful stories in the Bible, which speaks of the disciples of the Lord being caught in a storm. I've often taken cognizance of the fact that Jesus's disciples were caught in a storm under two separate circumstances. In this particular circumstance, he sent them to the other side. He said, I'm going to stay behind and send the multitude away, but I want you to go to the other side. Now, Matthew 8 and 25 and Mark 4 and 38 and Luke 8 and 24, they talk about the other storm where Jesus got in the boat with them. But in both instances, a storm arose. That says something to me, that in the ship where Jesus was not, a storm arose. In the ship where Jesus was, a storm arose. This says to me that it does not matter whether you are a human being that has Jesus on board or a human being that does not have Jesus on board. You are going to encounter storms. Storms cannot be averted. You just can't escape. You cannot live life without getting caught in a storm. Preacher, what is a storm? Well, a storm is literally a disturbance in the atmosphere. The one thing that I've noticed, being somewhat of a student of the weather, is that you usually have your best weather when you are in a situation dominated by high pressure. And the thing about high pressure is that the wind blows in a clockwise pattern around high pressure. High pressure represents normal times. You know, everything is moving clockwise. But look out when the weather pattern is being dominated by low pressure. That's when you get your storms, because the wind rotates around low pressure in a counterclockwise manner. And when your life runs into a storm, it simply means instead of things going normal, now they're in reverse. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. And somebody that I'm looking at right now, you are caught in a storm. Things seem like they're reversing on you. Hallelujah. Health has gone bad. Finance. Family relationship. Hallelujah. Situation on the job is in reverse. The winds are blowing. Lightning is flashing. Thunder is rumbling. Hallelujah. Not only is it just rain falling, and rain is always somewhat of a symbol of trouble, but instead of rain, you got hailstones falling. Trouble looks like it's in your life and you don't know what you're going to do. You are caught in a storm. And you thought the ship that you were on was pretty solid. but now you're taking on water. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And you got to have the same wisdom that Peter had. Beginning to sink. What I like about Peter, he didn't wait until he went under. But when he first saw such signs of deterioration had set in, before it went too far, he knew how to say, Lord, I need some help. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Let me take just a few moments and go back to this story. I talked to you last Sunday about Jesus feeding the hungry multitude with the two fish and the five barley loaves. I think we basically took it from Mark, but if you read the same story from Matthew, it was immediately following the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting the women or the children, that Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to get into the ship, go to the other side, I'll be on later. But as they got into the ship, committed themselves to go to the other side, Jesus went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And that's one thing that you've got to understand, that even our Lord and Savior, though he himself was God incarnate in human flesh, he kept in touch with the Father through prayer. And they used to say, even when I was a little boy, if Jesus had to pray, what about you and what about me? You're not going to be able to make it through this life without having a time of prayer. Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, and here they were going across to the other side. But immediately after getting into the ship and committing to go to the other side, they went into a storm. A storm arose. And don't think for a moment that even though the Lord has spoken prophetically through his word into your life, it doesn't mean that you are not going to encounter contrary winds. But you got to understand this. If Jesus said that you are going to the other side, the contrary winds can give you trouble, but they can't stop you from your ultimate destiny. If Jesus said that the end of your trip will be the other side, let the wind blow. Let them howl like a jackal. My God, let the thunders roll. Let the rains beat against your ship of state. But if Jesus said, go to the other side, he knows that you're going to make it to the other side. I sent somebody that's caught in a storm, but you might need to tell the person on your right and left, don't worry about the storm. You're going to make it to the other side. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. You got to make it because Jesus said it. And if the wind could stop you, then the wind would be stronger than his word. But I hear him say, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, my word is gone out, and it will not return unto me void. But it will do what? It will accomplish the purpose whereunto I have sent it. And if the Lord told you, you're going to make it to the other side. I don't know what the other side is for you, but whatever the fulfillment of God's prophetic word concerning your life, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. You may feel the ship reeling. You may feel it rocking, but your destination is the other side. Oh, my God, I don't want to get hung up here, but I just want you to tell somebody, my destination is the other side. Hallelujah. Understand. The wind blew. Waters became tempestuous. Jesus is in the mountain having a private prayer meeting. And here they are in the storm. Storm evidently started about sundown because it went through the first watch of the night. And the first watch in the night was from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Storm arose. And here they are trying to make it. No signs of Jesus anywhere. The first watch gave way to the second watch. The second watch of the night was from 9 p.m. until midnight. Don't y'all try to tune me up. I ain't ready to go there yet. From 9, hallelujah, until midnight, the second watch, and Jesus still didn't show up. Sometimes look like when you get in your trouble and you think it's not going to last but a few minutes. But as that thing starts to stretch out, you start wondering, where is God? Why hadn't he come to see about me? My God. Then they come into the third watch of the night. And the third watch of the night is from midnight until 3 a.m. The storm is yet wearing them out. And no signs of Jesus anywhere. Where is Jesus? He's up in the mountain. And when I read this from all of the Gospels, I get the impression that although he is in the mountain, he is in a particular vantage point where he is able to look out over the sea. And he understands that they are in a storm. He's looking at them. He's in the mountain. They're in the storm. And he's watching. He hasn't come to do anything. But you can be assured that if he's watching, it's not going to get so bad because he's got his eye on it. I want you to know you may be in a storm and you're wondering, where is God? I wish you'd tell somebody he's in the mountain watching you. Yeah. He's watching your situation. He's watching what's going on in your life. But finally, the third watch of the night gave away to the fourth and final watch. The fourth watch was from 3 a.m. until 6 a.m. I used to hear the old folks say the blackest hour is just before dawn. And sometimes your trouble looks like it gets worse just before the Lord brings you out of it. He seems to have a pattern of bringing you out of that thing when it's at its worst point. I look in the Bible and so many times I see how he showed up to bless his people. Somebody said he's never late, but I want you to know he's seldom early. As I stand before you today, I'm talking to you the first Sunday in February, and here you are pushing the panic button over something that's going to happen the last Sunday in June. Let me tell you something. No need in looking for him in February if your crisis isn't until June, because one thing about it, he will wait until midnight on Saturday night when your 0 hour is on that Sunday morning. And before you know it, all of a sudden, he'll sweep through. I know you read and you watch all of these movies on television where the hero always arrives at the last minute. Well, with man, that's nothing but mythology. But with God, it's true. That right before the enemy is getting ready to wipe you out, that's when the Lord steps in and lets the enemy know, you thought you were going to do this, but I'm here to tell you this is my child. And you can't do any more than I let you do. Tell somebody, stop pushing the panic button. The Lord is watching, and he'll be there right at the moment when you need him. Please, let me slow down just a minute. Sit down. In the fourth watch of the night, when the waters were jumping in the ship, they were worn out. They had battled the elements all night. But finally, here comes Jesus. And the way he came, he didn't get another boat. He didn't come up in another ship. But he came up in a way that they did not expect. Here they are. They've felt the wind. They've been fighting the waves. Every once in a while, they've been looking at the zigzag pattern of the lightning across the ethereal sky. They've heard the moaning and the sudden crashes of thunder and hear their nerves afraid. And what do they see out on the sea? Do you see what I'm looking at? They thought it was a disembodied spirit. They saw a man. And they got scared. You can say what you want to. You're already nervous. And here you see something that does not happen. What looks like a human figure walking on the water. And so many times when the Lord sends his help, the help that he sends you, instead of you rejoicing, sometimes it scares you because you can't believe that your deliverance is coming the way that it comes. Hallelujah. God can send somebody to help you and you scared of them. God can turn things around. But because it doesn't come the way you expect, you get nervous and upset. But I want you to know that when it's your time to be delivered, God's got a way that you may not understand. That's why he said, just believe it. While they're trying to determine whether it's a spirit, I hear the Lord say, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's nobody but me. Woo. That sounds like Jesus. Looks like Jesus. But Peter said, I'm going to try this thing out. Lord, if it's really you, I know you got all kind of power. And if you got the power to walk on water, you got the power to let me do it. So if it's really you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus did something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He took his word, and like a magic carpet, he spread his word on the water. And he simply said, come. He didn't have to say a whole lot. He didn't have to speak but one word. I'm here to tell you, if the waters of life seem like they're about to overflow your ship of state, the Lord doesn't have to say but one word. And he spoke the word and said, come. And when Peter stepped out of the ship, he steps not on the waves, but he stepped on the word. The word that said, come. And with his word, with his feet planted on the word and his eyes fastened on Jesus, there was no way for the wave to swallow him up. I'm here to tell you, there's a storm in your life, but if you plant your feet on the word and fix your eyes on Jesus, the waves can't carry you down. I hear somebody in here now. People want to know, how did you make it? You weren't making enough money. to even do a down payment. But God is sustaining you in your house. How did you make it when the man walked away and you had to raise the children by yourself? How did you make it when you didn't even finish high school, but you got a job that requires somebody with a college degree? How did you make it? There's a situation in your body and you should have been dead 5 years ago. How did you make it? Tell them I put my feet on the word and kept my eyes on Jesus. Tell somebody, don't worry about the angry waves. If you put your feet on the word and keep your eyes on Jesus, yeah, you can make it. But something happened. The Bible says, when Peter saw the wind, boisterous, I don't know, a 30 or 35 mile per hour wind will kick up the sea pretty good. But he must have heard a 50 mile per hour gust that whistled by his ear. And he looked, trying to see where the wind came from. But when he looked at the wind, he took his eye off Jesus. The wind that usually messes us up is the wind of unbelieving talk that comes out of the critic's mouth. Quit listening at the wind of criticism. Keep your eye on Jesus. People may not understand what God is doing in your life, but I dare you to take your eye off Jesus, trying to logically explain how you got where you are and where you're going to the place you're on your way. Keep your eye on Jesus. When he saw the wind, he took his eye off Jesus. And I believe his foot slid off the word. He couldn't concentrate on the word come when he took his eye off Jesus. And the next thing you know, he began to sink. He didn't go under all of a sudden, but he knew that if this trend continued, I'll be over my head in water. But when he felt the water moving above his ankle, up toward his knee, he said, I'm not going to wait to see the end result of this. I don't like what I see. I don't like what I'm experiencing. And as he began to sing, he said, Lord, save me. Save me. Somehow I messed up. I was walking, but somehow I messed up. Don't let me go under. Save me. Woo! Somebody in here, you need to lift up your hand and just tell him, Lord, save me. Now, what did Jesus do? The Bible said immediately, he reached out his hand. He caught Peter. He lifted him up. Peter was going down. But Jesus reached down, lifted him up. Somebody in here, you're going down. But I see Jesus stretching his hand. He wants to lift you up. And you need to lift your hand and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. I've tried everything. Nothing else works. So now I'm looking to you. Save me. Rescue me. Deliver me. When they caught him, they both stepped in the ship together. And the Lord looked at him. Peter, you were walking all right. Why did you doubt? Do you know what doubt and unbelief will do to you? You're living in a world that is designed to make you doubt. You're living in a world now when the superhighway brings everything right into your living room. You're living in a world when radical Islamic fundamentalism has gone out of control. And men are blowing themselves up just to kill anybody that embraces some of the values we embrace. And the question is asked, is there really a God? If there's a God, why does he let this happen? Why does he let that happen? Your problem is you haven't read this book. Because everything that's happening, he already told us it would come to pass. But I heard him say, don't get upset. For all of this is the beginning of sorrow. Keep on preaching. For when this gospel of the kingdom shall have been preached in all the world, when it's been preached on the dark continent of Africa, when the witch doctor shall have heard about Jesus, when everybody, regardless of who they are and where they come from, when they get through hearing about me, I hear him say the end is coming. And the same Jesus that went away, that same Jesus is coming back again. And I don't care what nobody says, I'm waiting for the same Jesus that walked in Galilee. I'm waiting for the same Jesus that talked beside the sea. I'm waiting for the same Jesus that caught a cloud of glory. He's coming back. And when he comes right in the sky, Jesus my King, and when the dead in Christ shall rise, bless his name. And when all death, my soul shall cry, where is thy stain? I shall meet him. Thank you. I want every sinner in this building. I want you to come from wherever you are. Come here now. Every sinner in this building. You need to come down the nearest aisle. Tell him, save me, Lord. Come, if something of a whole shot, every sinner in this building, come here now. Can you tell him, Lord, have mercy, oh Lord, have mercy, oh save me, Lord, save me, Jesus. Come on and tell him, save me, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Bishop G.E. Patterson this morning. And Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to go back and tell this to God, Lord, save me. And sometimes we're going through some rough things. Lord, save me. I need you to save me, Lord. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio will be open if you have something you would like to say. Please feel free this morning to press that number one and come in. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God for good gospel music. Thank God that he is in the saving business. And I thank God that after Jesus rose, he rose for us. And after he rose, we should allow him to rise in us. And not once a year, talking about Happy Resurrection Sunday and all this stuff, but we should allow him to rise in us daily, daily, every day, all day, every night, all night. Because he didn't rise just for once a year. He rose for daily, every day. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful unto him this morning. For he's got all power, and there's no higher power. Hallelujah. And if we allow him, he will lead and guide us in the right path for his name's sake. And when his name is on something, it's going to end up excellent. It's going to end up perfect. Yeah, because his name is on what he has done for us. And so we're thankful this morning. We're taking it as the day after resurrection, the day after he rose from the grave with all power. Hallelujah. Rising for us. I think on that thing that it just makes me happy. He did it for me. Hallelujah. He did it for you. He thought we were so worthy. He thought we was worth saving. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to tell him thank you this morning. He could have left us in the shape that we were in. Yeah. He could have left us doomed to go to hell. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. 23 years ago on Easter Sunday. She gave her life to the Lord, Sion. Yeah, 23 years ago. That's a wonderful thing. I know it was in the month of September. I can't really tell you exactly what day, but I know the year 1993. Hallelujah. Gave my life totally to God. Yeah, all before I was a churchgoer. I'm just honest. I had a form of godliness, but I was denying the power thereof, because if you make me mad, I cuss. Yeah, am I talking? I would cuss. But when I totally gave my heart to him, I totally surrendered. And later on, he come and showed me in the scripture over in Philippians. I want to say it was chapter 4. Put that filthy communication out of your mouth. And then he showed me that's not coming out just your mouth. That's coming from your heart. I'm not through. I got to go back in and do some more cleaning. Hallelujah. And so we're thankful unto God this morning for all he has done, how he's opened the door. The songwriter says, what more can he do? He laid the foundation. He opened up the way. What more can he do? We have to accept him for ourselves. He can't accept us for him. We must do it. Hallelujah. And it's already all right again this morning in Jesus' name. And we're thankful unto him. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. How are you doing?
I am good over here.
You know, Easter is a very special time for me, because on April 10th, 2010, it's when I had that serious accident, and I asked God to save me. I had bust the side of my face open. Of course, by this time, I had gone got a divorce because I wasn't listening to God. But either way, September of 2012, he let me get a brand new car with 12 miles on it, no job, no money, and no husband. Income was very small, but it didn't matter because they gave me the car anyway. I missed 10 payments on that car. It didn't matter. They never came and got it, and they let me pay what I could when I could. I finally paid the car off. I've served a good God. And every time I get a little weary or feeling doubt, he steps right in. All I have to do is think about something. Like yesterday, I said, oh, God, what am I going to cook? He showed me the easiest thing to cook, and Al still got super, his name is Calvin, I don't know why I called him Al, got super full. And I told God, thank you for the food that's in my, Barbara, I have more food than I need. Mm-hmm. And it works out so well. Now, sometimes I don't have no money, but God always finds a way to feed us, to keep the lights on, the water on, and food on my table. All I have to do, sometimes just sit here on the side of my bed and say, okay, God, you see my needs. And before I know it, I look at my account. I thought I had $8. I looked the other day, I had $30. I said, oh, look at God. Calvin, I can get you some breakfast.
All right.
Because that's what I was concerned about. So you don't have to be worried or weary. Like I told you Saturday, I don't remember what day. It might have been Thursday I was at your house. Either way. I said, oh, Bob, I'm not going to say I'm worried, but I'm very concerned about you. Because God don't need us concerned. He need us, worried. You can be concerned, but let's not worry. Because if you're going to worry, don't pray. All I can say for all these years, these 66 years, God has took very good care of me. Each morning I wake up, I say, God, thank you for taking care of me and my family. I look at that 7-year-old son of mine. He's so smart. And he's so overweight. And I say, oh, you got the fat genes in the family, don't you? He say, no, I have the good cookie banana house. A 76-year-old woman, she cooks meals like every day is Sunday. Every day is a Sunday meal in her house. So I thank God. I thank God that he has manna. I thank God that God has us all wrapped in his arms. Now, there's some rough days. There are not always easy days, as I would say, but there are some rough days. There are some days I fall down. But God has given me a watch that all I got to do is press it in the family, get in less than 3 minutes. There are some days that I say, oh, God, I keep falling down. But I never say, oh, God, why am I falling down? Because that's a lesson in this blessing. So even when it feels like God is not moving and things are getting rough, as I would say, rougher than the gulf and the waves look like a tsunami, just know you're at the end of the struggle. I know I'm at the end. Too many things are happening. So I thank God. I thank God for you, Barbara. I thank God for the show. And I love that blessing sermon today. When God bid you to come on board and he told you go to the other side, remember, he said go to the other side, which means you're going to go through some struggles, but you're going to get to the other side. So I thank God. I thank God for reminding me. I promised you this, Jerry. So don't go weary now on me. You're almost there. So thank God for you and Brother Louie and Sherry and everybody. Everybody that keeps me on board in the morning. I used to sleep to 10:30 in the morning. Now I get up at 6 a.m. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. So thank you, Sister Barbara, for bringing me in on your team. And everybody have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Jerry. You know, I tell you this, the word of God is one of the most powerful things I've ever known. Woo! That when it says the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, what he sent that word out to do, it is going to do just that. And when we remember what the word of God said, he gave great and precious promises. The scripture even says he's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. As Sister Dot said the same to you, Sister Jerry. He's a promise keeper. And if we'll go back and remember what his word says and go back to Proverbs 3:5-7 and learn all over again how to trust God with all our heart. That word all, every time you see it, it's a big, big word. It covers a lot of territory. Acknowledge him in all our ways. And he shall, it's a promise, direct our path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let me tell you. I was concerned about a few things, and I'm always concerned about something when it comes to Bill Payne, when it comes to the show, the payments, the this, the that, and the other. I'm a bit concerned because it's my job to pay it. And every time I turn around, he keeps on making a way. Keeps on making a way. This is how you know it belonged to God, because God takes care of his own. I don't care how many mornings you have woke up. He spared your life. Before that day was over with, you had a bath. You had food. Some way, somehow, you had shelter. Even if you had to go to a homeless shelter. Even if you had to sleep in your car. Even if you had to go and stay with somebody. He made a way. Why? He made you. He take care of what he made. He take care of his children. He take care of his own. When I first started Jesus in the morning, September be 12 years, I didn't even really consider a way. I didn't think about paying the, you know, the monthly bill, or the website, the this, that. I never considered that. Microsoft, I never considered all of that. I considered obedience, because obedience is better than the sacrifice. Yes, it is. If you obey God, it's better than you paying them tithes and offerings. If you obey God, it's better than fasting. Yeah. So when I learn to obey God, things begin to work out. And God, like Bishop said, he don't always come overnight. He don't always come in 5 minutes. He don't always come right away to rescue you or to bring you out of your trial fast. Sometimes we got to stay in that thing for a while. I'm in the midst of a trial right now. I know he's going to do it. But when, Lord? In his perfect timing. I just got to go through. Now, he done did what I wanted him to do. I prayed and asked him for some things. He moved. Bought the house painted. Dot, 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 dot. Got to wait. And in his perfect timing, he's going to move. Because it's not really about the money. Not with him. It may be the money with me, but it's not about the money with him. It's about his timing. He put a brand new roof on the house. I didn't pay a penny. So he can't paint the house without me paying. Come on, somebody. He can't redo the driveway. He can't redo the floors. I was talking to Shantae and said, let's tear it down and rebuild it. He'll do that too if that's what I truly want. When your ways please him, you don't have to go to man to get what you need to get from God. Women know, we women, and many women know. And many women know there's a man who will come in and do for you. Many women know this. Know where he at and all of that. Anytime you need me. But it's going to cause you to sin against God. We don't want man way. We want the ways of God. And if you won't take the ways of God, you have to have patience to wait on him. Some things look like it's an emergency, but it's not. It's an emergency to you, but it's not to God, because nothing more is going to happen. And he already had a plan to stop that anyway. He already had a plan to fix that for us. But we can't wait, because we want it right now. Lord, I need it now. Move now, Lord. Mm-mm. And the Lord said, I'm not moving now, because that's not a right now situation. I need you to hold up. I need you to focus more on me, but we don't do that. We go to focusing on the problem. I'm raising my right hand because I'm so guilty, I don't know what to do. I used to do the very same. Oh, Lord, they say they're going to come. Oh, Lord, they say they do. Oh, Lord, I need. And the Lord just sit back. I believe sometimes he laughed. Because we saw they're not going to do nothing. Without me, they can do nothing. You have my favor. And I'm going to let my favor work for you. You can stab them in their face and they're not going to do nothing. He showed me that with my truck. I'm swearing to burn to a certain degree, Lord. I said, Lord, I need you to go on and give me the money, because they're going to be looking for it. You know, coming up on 2 months, they're going to be looking for their money, Lord. And I need you to go and give me the money for the truck. He waited a minute. He gave me the money for the truck. And then let me show you what he did for me. He come back and made a budget. I get a phone call one day at the Clear Blue Sky. He come back and made a budget just for the truck payment every month. And to start that off, he didn't give me all that I needed in the budget at first. He added to it, and he added to it. And when I knew anything, I had more than enough to pay the truck. But I had to wait. You hear what I'm telling you? Patience. We need faith, patience, and learn how to trust God. I'm telling you this morning. Because if you walk it up right before him the very best that you can, and you remembering his word, and you putting the word, his word, to your situation, your way is going to please God. There's nothing he won't do for you. I can't let go. I can't get out here and do what the rest of the church folks doing. I got to stay with him. Yeah. I was praying yesterday, headed to the prison. Lord, help me. I want to be right in your sight. I want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Fix my heart. Go in there and fix it. Anything that's broken in there, anything that shouldn't be in there. And Lord, I need you to regulate my mind. I need you to keep my mind. Help me to think right. Help me to do that which is right. People did so much for me yesterday. I was tired. I want you to hear me. I was really tired when I left the prison. Going up to the prison, I was tired. When I left there, I really didn't want to do nothing else, if I'm honest. I wanted to come home and just stretch out. But people had did things to be a blessing to me and to make me happy. I didn't want to let them down, so I went on. But today the Lord has blessed me. I can talk on the phone, but I can't really go nowhere and do nothing, you know, too big. I can go, but I can't do a whole lot. He blessed me. So now I can rest. Tomorrow I won't be here because I have an early morning appointment. And I have to keep this appointment. Wednesday, we praying that the guests, live guests come in. And I want to look in here and see the place that she says she's coming from because, is this her? I think this is her. Thank you so much. I meant, what is the time right now? Oh, I was on the air. I'm so sorry. What time is it right now? 8:56? Okay, it is 8:56. A.M. now. Okay. Yeah, because I believe she's coming tomorrow. But I want to go over here and look at her messages because she did tell me where she was from. And what this woman have on her page is just absolutely beautiful. I met her over on, what is this called? LinkedIn. And you know, that's why I got the good doctor from over there too, the marriage counseling doctor. And she and I, we still friends over on LinkedIn. And I met some other people over there. I'm going to put a post over there. But this lady wrote me, and she told me where she was from. I just got to look at it again. But I'll be able to announce it in the morning Wednesday morning. I'll be able to, before then, I'll be able to find it and announce it. I can't do nothing when I'm in a rush for something. I just have to take my time. But her name is Irene Alsop Vanderleer. That's her name. Irene Alsop Vanderleer. And she's over on LinkedIn. And she was born in the Netherlands. And she married an Australian man. She said she came to Australia when she was 30 years old. And she had two sons who both died by suicide. At the age of 52 and 54, my husband was a narcissist with no love for his family. I'm separated but not divorced. I'm 76 years old. I love my God, and he guided me through many valleys. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 13 years old. I love people and life. And she sent me some pictures to put in the show marquee. So she's from the Netherlands. And I knew she was in Australia because of the way she, you know, wrote things. But we want to pray for her. Y'all be in prayer for her. And that the Lord would bless her. 76 years old. And she says she loved her Jesus. And I love my God. Yeah, it is just beautiful. And so, you know, a lot of times God will lead and guide me to people. It's not my doing. It wouldn't even be people I would choose. But I don't have no say-so in the matter if I'm honest. Because not my will, but his will be done. In the name of his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you today, Father. Hey, glory to his majesty. Woo! I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Not my choice, but his. And one day I got to stand before him. I'm able to say, these are they. The Lord, you sent me for whatever you told me to tell him, God. You, an old pastor friend of mine, I called him a friend. I hope he called me his friend and his wife. And we all was in Alaska together. And he had a church down near the North Pole. And I went down there a couple of times. And then my son and daughter, son-in-law and daughter, ended up putting their membership at his church. And Ashante come out of his church. And because she knew about it way before me. But I saw his wife on Facebook, and I asked her to ask the both of them to give me a call. I needed to talk to them. And it wasn't me that had the message for them, but Almighty God that have all power had the message. So she told him what I said, and he called me. I believe that was on Friday. And when I told this man what the Lord said, he gladly received it. Hallelujah. Because what you got to do is remove you. Hey, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you today, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless you today, Lord. I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. You got to remove you out of the equation. You got to let your ways and your thoughts and your feelings go. You got to back up, move out of it, and let God have his way. If God say bless your enemies, that's what you do. You can't worry about, well, Lord, in 1975, they cussed me out. No, 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 you can't go there. Well, Lord, you know, right up around 1992, it was a group of them together, and he was the main one talking about me. She was the main one started to talk. No, you got to let that go. You got to remove that foolishness. Why? Business is mine, said the Lord. He was saying this, let the wheat and the tare grow together. Let the good and the bad come together. In the day of harvest, I'm going to be the one to do the separating. You don't know how to separate nothing, Barbara. You'll mess up everything. You don't know nothing. This is why you pray to me for wisdom. I have to give you wisdom, Barbara, because if I didn't, you'd be a fool. Oh, my goodness. So we have to let go in every situation and let God. If we forgive, we got to forget. I've heard people say, I forgive, but I won't forget. But that's what God does. When he forgive us, he put it in the sin of forget, in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. So now if we going to forgive, you mean to tell me he can forgive and forget it, but we going to forgive and remember it? I don't think God is pleased. There's a lot of things we do according to our flesh, but we going to run out to the Lord. If you don't sell out to him, because look, this is what he said in his word. Now, you can't hold it against me. I was not there, Andrea Spinner, when God wrote it. I was not there when he inspired man to write it. Spinner, I believe it today. Either you for God or you against him, sinner. Either you on his side or you're not. Ain't nothing in between. We can't pick and choose what we want to do, Dr. Goodman. We just got to do all that he said to do. I can't pick and choose. No way. He said he won't have you lukewarm, Louis. He said either we got to be hot or cold. He's not taking lukewarm. He don't have no room for lukewarm, either hot or cold. See, because if you're hot, you're for him. If you're cold, he can put you where you need to be, and it won't be with him. Because he needs the saints of God to be on one accord, uplifting him so that others can come. He needs us to be clothed in our right mind because he gave us power, love, and a sound mind so that we can do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. The Lord began to show me some things. I said, Lord, you know I love people. And I do. And I do. But I got to obey him first. My children get mad with me. They have been mad with me a long time. Some of them, I mean, they angry with me, but it don't stop them from loving. You know, teeth and tongue fall out, and they go right back together chewing something. Yeah, because I said something, but I didn't do what I said. I said it, and afterwards, God said something else. I couldn't go with what I said. I had to go with what he said, and then apologize. They didn't accept it. You need to stop that then, Mama. Just say, if the Lord... says the same, if the Lord say so, or say something like that, because I'm looking for it and you don't do it. I'm looking for the banana pudding. You tell me that you had to go to Lake City, and I'm waiting on that banana pudding. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. But if God speak to me, because a lot of things I want to do, and a lot of things I want to do with people. And I said, when I said it, I meant it. But God will speak something else, and whatever he speaks, that's what I'm doing. I'm sorry. And sometimes it's to show me some things. Sometimes it's to show me the mind of the people. Because, you know, when you're dealing with church folks, you got to be careful. I'm talking about you got to be real careful dealing with them church people. Now, the folks of God, the people of God, you know, you can do it how you do it and then go back and tell them what he said, and they're going to accept that. But them church folks, they're going to call you a liar. And talk about you real bad, yeah. So be careful. Yeah. Certain things I could do. And certain things the people in the world know that God ain't going to hold against you. But God won't hold it, but them church folks will. Now I'm just telling you because it's a difference. Church folks do what they want to do according to the church, you know, protocol and bylaws and all this kind of thing. You know, they got formalities and protocols and all of that. The people of God, we follow God. We can change at the drop of a hat. Because we was on our way north and all of a sudden God said, go two blocks and go head south. We going to do just that. Them church folks going to keep heading north because that's where that's the direction they're going in. But the people of God, we have to hear from God. Yeah. You better preach. You want me to give you the microphone? You're going to preach this morning. We must be led by the Spirit of God, and we following the Spirit of God. We following the Holy Ghost. We following God. We letting him lead and guide us because we don't know where we're going. I don't have no sense of direction on foolishness. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm real strange, and I'm not like your average. I'm not like your regular preacher. I laugh all the time. I want to talk and laugh all the time. But at the drop of the hat, listen, in the midst of me having a good time laughing, a good meal is before me. God will speak something and I'll drop the fork and tell you what he said. And all of a sudden, I'm in the spirit. I'm no longer in the flesh. I'm just telling you how he does. Peculiar. That gal, I'm gonna give you that microphone in a minute. I keep on fooling with me now. Yeah, peculiar. Not like everybody else. I've been set free. Listen, You hear me laughing, you hear me acting a donkey sometimes. I've been set free, because whom the Son set free is free indeed. I'm not bound to nothing but Jesus and his word. I'm bound to prayer. I'm bound to faith in him. I'm bound to patience with him. And I'm bound to trust in him. These are the things I'm bound to. I'm not bound to nothing else. He set me free. I can laugh. I can learn. And when I start learning, I'm serious. Boy, I remember Mike Murdoch talking and he laughing and playing. I said, look here, get your mind right. I'm trying to learn something. It looked like he just straightened right up and went back on the teaching. Just went right back to teaching. And guess what? Even in his teaching, the Lord will show me, I give this and I give that. That right there, that's not me. Okay, here's the platter. Pick this and pick that. That over there, that's not me. Put that over there. Do you hear what I say? He's that kind of God. And he give us favor. I've been in churches. I've heard the preacher get up to preach. It wasn't God. I got my purse. And I eased on out of that. Because God is not in it, I don't want none of it. And we pray for discernment of spirits. We pray for discernment. Yeah. And we move on in Jesus' name. We go on in Jesus. Why is that, Barbara? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our everything. He's our everything. And I know people don't believe that he's your everything, but he's our everything, and I'm going to tell you why. Without him, we can do nothing. If he don't wake you up, you won't wake up. If he don't give you the ability to move your fingers, you can't. If he don't give you the ability to see, you're blind. If he don't give you the ability to hear, you're deaf. You hear what I say? And I'm not just talking about spiritual. I'm talking about natural as well. If he don't put breath in your body, you won't wake up in the morning or you'll die right now. If he take the breath out of you, you're gone, you're through. I depend on him. And my daily prayer is he can depend on me. I need him to be able to depend on Barbara. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, thank you. I need him to see. Whatever you say, it rules and reigns. I'm not perfect. You left some things with me that I want to be removed. And I can't move them. You have to move them. And if you don't move them, they'll be there. And many times people come against him because of those things he left there. But the same thing he left there have blessed people in Orlando on OBT on Orange Blossom Trail. I'm just telling you because I don't tell you everything. But that very thing blessed him. Ooh-wee. The songwriter said, you don't know like I know what he has done for me. You can't tell it. I got to tell it what he's done for me. I said this morning, I said, look, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to play a few songs. I'm going to get the message of the day. And I pray out and go on. That didn't go that way, did it? And when I start talking about his goodness, you can't stop me. No way, no how. You cannot stop me. It go on and on and on. It'll go from this thing to that thing. It'll be like the scriptures. It start off talking about this and that, and midway to go to talking about something else, and a little bit further change it. And that's the way it is with me. I love him today. I'm telling you, I love him today. He's been good to me. Worked it out for me. I was talking to two of my sons yesterday and I began to think back. Oh, you blessed me, Lord. Could have been I never saw these boys again. It could have been that he allowed them to die, but he didn't for my sake. For my sake as a mother, he didn't let them die. He didn't let me die. 65 years old, he kept me alive. Kept me here for a purpose. Kept me here for a reason. I'm just not any old body out here doing any old thing in the world. I have purpose behind me. And I have a plan before me. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I thank him today for all he has done. All he is doing right now. Believe it or not, he's doing great things for us right this second. He's on our side today in spite of us, looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. And if so many of us act like we don't have no faults, we just the goodest thing, we the best thing since sliced bread. We all of that in a bag of donuts. When there's raggedness, it is raggedy in our hearts. Our minds are not stable. We in and out. We don't remember God with a lot of things. We forget. I mean, things we haven't done in years, that's just a part of us now. We haven't done them. So, and we didn't want to do them. We stopped doing them. But how about keeping our mind on him in the newness, in the freshness? God is a fresh God. He's a renewed God. He don't change. But yet, there's a freshness about him. Hallelujah. Look at Louis, y'all donut. Y'all know I can't mention a donut around Louis. And Louis, they put a donut, a brand new donut shop right up the street from me. The devil is a lie. He's a lie, Louis. And I done been in that line before. I done took Jerry over there and took her through the line. I was going to take Thelma, but Thelma ain't in all that foolishness like I am. And me and Jerry, we back to that life of sweet. Oh, yes, we are. We ain't got no business together when it comes to them sweets, not Jerry and I. I said, Jerry, you want this? You want that, Jerry? Yeah, I want to try this. Oh, Barbara, I want to try that. Then gave Jerry a pan of brownie. Just messing up everything. Sick for 3 days. She said, Barbara, I can't let you do me like that. I didn't do you like that. You said you wanted this. I said I wanted 8 cookies, and you brought the whole bag to me. And she done been through the cookies while we ride. Can't give her no sweets. Uh-uh. So I took Gavin some food, no sweets for Jerry. Yeah. But God is good to us, and he's faithful. And it's a certain thing as called a glutton, and I found myself there yesterday and a few days before. I found myself being a glutton. And I said, Lord, I got to cut it out. I hate throwing away food. I can't hardly stand it. Because if I couldn't eat it, if somebody somewhere needed it. Somebody in another country wished they had that. And I'm a waste to just throw it away. I don't like that. But God knows the very intent of my heart. He's in the blessing business, and he has blessed me over and over and over again. When I tell you I am more than blessed, I'm more than blessed. Yeah. He's bringing some things back around. I was going to need a few dollars, and I'm trying to raise that $1,600. He gave me a truck full of stuff just to take to the flea market. Look here. God is faithful to us. So we back on that this morning. I need everybody that can to give $100. $1,600 is not a lot of money. It's a lot when we don't have it. But if we accomplish this goal right here, we'll be able to accomplish some other goals. And not only that, but if your time come when you're in dire straits, if your time come when you in dire need, you don't know nowhere else to turn to get it. You don't have family who can put it together for you. And you come and let us know. We're able to put it together because we don't know when our time will come. I promise you it's not for me, but it's for one of our own. And I believe the Lord put it on my heart to do the 1600. This week I'm blessed to give my 100. Pastor David gave his 100. He rushed and gave his. And CR had me laughing. Don't play with the Jesus lady now. She say plant a seed, go on and plant it. Yeah. Did you plant my seed? Did you do what I say do? Yeah. It tickles me, them two. But God is faithful to us. And if you plant it as a seed, he going to multiply it back to you. Maybe it's something you need to do. You're trying to get done and you haven't been able to do it. You don't know the right people to go to. You plant that seed, God will open that door. He'll make a way where you see no way. Sometimes you gave 100, he'll multiply 500 back to you, 300 back. If he multiplied 2 back to you, that's 100 more than you have. And when we give and let go. Don't give and worry about it. Don't do that. You hold up your blessing. Give it like the person you love to give gifts to and you never think about it no more. Give like that because you're giving the Almighty God, able to give it back to you 100-fold, 1,000-fold. You could give $100 and God bless you with $100,000. Somebody waiting on a lawsuit. Somebody waiting on this money to come through. Somebody got some bank money they didn't even know needed to come through. You planted a $100 seed. All of a sudden, the insurance call you. Hey, Miss Jones, this is Baron from the so-and-so and a J-Pay insurance company or whatever. We saw that your parents left a policy for you all the way in 1983, 1972, whenever it was. 2001. And we just wanted to call and talk to you about this. We're so sorry. It's an oversight on our behalf. We overlooked some things, but we want to get this check right out to you in the mail. And there's interest on it. They don't want to talk to you about suing them. So they throw the interest to you so you know you're getting extra for years. You see? God got a mighty sweet way. I went to the mailbox one day and that was the check. Erica and I, we laughed about these, when a whole bunch of people sue somebody and you get $35, $15. We laughed about it, but I told her, I got a $38 check in the mail. I wasn't expecting that. And that $38 came right in on time. Yes, it did. I'm grateful. For 2 pennies, I'm grateful for a penny. I'm grateful for just a bowl of beans. I may not have no meat, just beans. I'm grateful. Because he didn't let me die from hunger. He gave me a bowl of beans. Whatever state we're in, we want to learn to be content. And we want to be cheerful givers. And we want to give as given unto the Lord. Don't give as given unto me. But give as given unto Almighty God so that and plant it as a seed so he can multiply that back to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Louis had me laughing. Louis said, you said you saw some new things and this and that. Louis said, but you didn't see how the boy going to have to do it. I couldn't help but laugh. I said, I can't fool with Louis. I cannot fool with him. He had me screaming and hollering. And everybody hear me. What's she screaming at? I knew it. I said something to her over there. Knew it. I told her something. Yeah. But we thank God this morning that he is all powerful. He's got all power. He's all knowing. He know everything. If you need to know something, come out and go to Google, ask Siri, honey, go to God. And have the patience to wait on him. Yeah, hallelujah. Uh-huh. Oh, you did. You got $1,000, one of them, what they call them? Class action suits. That's the name of it, Louis. I get $1,000, I don't know. But look at them laughing. I got 35, I think. I got 38 one time. And I think I got $15 off of something. I didn't put the lawsuit in now. I didn't put it in. Somebody else started the claim. But I collected off of it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let it be $1,000. I think it's two. It's two they put me in. It's two going on. And I can't remember if it's for Microsoft or who it's for. One was for Wells Fargo. Yeah. And I, you know, because I try not to sue people. Yeah. Because I know mistakes happen every day, you know. And sometimes people do that to remind and give them a good reminder. Don't do that again. Make sure that's straight now. Because if not, we're coming back in your pocket again. If people don't like folks taking out of their pocket, they like people putting into their pocket. Yeah. Yeah. They like multiplication when it comes to them pockets. They don't want nothing to do with subtraction when it comes to them pockets. Yeah. And so we understand. We understand this morning. And we thank God for all has been said and done. If there anyone else have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one. What do you say? I did. It was a law group. Yeah, it's a group that started. Yeah, and they sued it. I just happened to be in on the deal. It had happened to my computer, my bank account or whatever. And I just happened to be a part of the deal. And they said, well, do you want something from it? Yes, I do. Everybody else getting their cut. I want my little cut, $35. I'll take my $35 and tell the Lord, thank you, and keep moving. It's all good. It's all good. As Brother Frank is saying, it's all good. Hallelujah. So we thank God. And you never can tell where money can come from for you. No matter where you are, I promise you, God can get money there. Remember Brother Hamilton? And the preacher gave him the money and he shared it with me. Yeah, as soon as he got it, he shared it with me. He said, I know I'm supposed to give you a part of this. I want to hear from Brother Hamilton because I want to hear how his business is doing and how he's doing. I haven't heard from him in a minute. Yeah, I spoke with Brother. I didn't speak with him, but he texted me. And he said he asked us for prayer for him and his sister. And he said he's praying for us over here. And matter of fact, I'm going to text him when we get off. I'm going to text him to see what's going on. Yeah, because he hadn't been to the show. He said he came to listen, but I wasn't on. And he didn't know what was going on, so he texted me. But he's doing pretty good, and as far as I know, and I just need to keep up with him more often. Yeah. And Brother Anthony, he and I, we texted each other the other day, and we was texting yesterday, matter of fact, back and forth. Cindy got a new car, and he was showing me that and, you know, texting me. All right, I will see on. I certainly will. I certainly will. Hallelujah. So listen, if no one else have anything to say, I will pray us out this morning. And she said, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. You know what? Let me do a quick roll call because we got a little time. And I feel just a little bit energized. When I first came in here this morning, I felt like, I don't know how this going to go today, Lord. I'm tired. But you know, the Lord will revive you. Yes, he will. I want to say good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann. And Sister Dot, I thank you for all the posting in the prayer club and the prayer request club. I thank you that when new members join, you jump right in and welcome them. Thank you so much. God bless you, Sugarfoot. Good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann. Mary Ann, I ain't been over there to ask for nothing. I'm trying not to ask for nothing. God been blessing me. I had to ask for no $50. God is faithful. Hallelujah. That was my go-to $50 person, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, you got $50 yet? Can I get $50 just now? Send it right to me. Uh-huh. I thank God for Mary Ann. And she like a lot of stuff I put on Facebook. I like that about her too. Oh, it told me one time, Sister Barbara, if I live near you, I'll be to your house all the time. We will be cooking and sewing and whatever you got going on, we will be doing it. I said, all right, that Mary Ann, my kind of gal. That's my friend. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown, my wicked, wicked, wicked. Yeah, me and Wicked known each other, what, almost 60 years, Wicked? Almost 60 years. My goodness. My goodness. Good morning to you, Sister Simone. I got your message and everything, and God bless you. I thank God for you. No rush, you know. I understand things happen, and you got to work or get back the way you got to get. And you know, if you ain't got all you need to get to, you know what I'm saying. I understand. Good morning, Sister Angela in California. I got to check on you, Sister Angela, because I need to know if you're back doing your wedding stuff. This woman did such beautiful weddings, so made me want to get married. And then after I go down the aisle through the lilies and the grass and all that, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to gnaw this. I just wanted to walk down this aisle, so I couldn't do it. She had a setting in there where it looked like live lilies, yellow lilies. Oh, it was so pretty. and the grass around it. You know, it just looked like you was walking through a path, and all of it, oh, it was just beautiful, beautiful. And good morning to you, my God, baby. Good morning, Laura and Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah over there. Alexis, good morning to you. God bless you, sugar. Sister Lachelle, God bless you this morning. And Sister Andrea Stenner and Sister Andrea Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Theon, Sister Diane, Sister Jerry again, Sister Angela Foot, and Sister Anna Lee Foot. I know Anna Lee should have that box by now. I need to call her anyway because I promised to call her. Make yourself a note right now. Frank, I got to get wet. Anna Lee. Okay. Kim and Mike. I need to check on them too. And if anybody else remember anybody else we ain't heard from, y'all say something to me. Yeah. And good morning to you, Sister Kim Hops. I'm going to be calling them today, checking them out, make sure everything good over there. I know Mike had knee surgery. Yeah. And it was painful because I could see it. He showed me some, you know, ooh. I'm like, nah, I don't think I want none of that. And it's going to take him a while to totally heal. I know that. Good morning to you, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Michelle, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, Sister Claudia, Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Good morning. She's out here today, but I want to say good morning to her anyway. She may be listening live. Good morning to that main man holding all that chat room down, the one and only, Bruh Lewis, the food connoisseur. Yes, sir. We believe in them groceries, don't we, Lewis? Good morning to you, Brother Jermaine, and good morning to you, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Perry. I think he was in earlier. I could have, yeah, he was in there earlier because today Monday couldn't have been yesterday. Brother Lee Hamilton. Brother Justin Gilmore, happy Easter to you too. I got your message, Brother Gilmore. God bless you. Brother Cal, Pastor David Jackson, my buddy, had his birthday thing this weekend again. They surprised him real good, real good. They got him over. I know he was not expecting that. Yeah, and so they did it real proper. Thank God for him. Brother Frank and Brother Marquez Griffin. Brother Marquez sent me some pictures of the baby yesterday. I appreciate them pictures, though. And I said something to him. He wrote me and he said, thank you for them words of wisdom. I thank you for that. I think it was faith, patience, and trust. I believe them were the three words I gave him. So, yeah, today I will check on these people and call my friend Anna Lee Foot because I promised her I would last week. And I got a little sidetracked. So I want to remind you, tomorrow I won't be here. We're praying to come back on Wednesday and Thursday. And I may or may not be here Friday. So, y'all, we want to be in prayer and see how God moves. That's all I can say. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. And we thank him. We thank him. For without him, we can do nothing. So if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out. And again, we pray the Lord bring us back Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Right quick, right quick. PTY Contractors, LLC, Erica Postway. If you need roofing done, if you need drywall, janitorial, flooring, painting, landscaping, finished carpentry, y'all get a hold of Erica. Her number is 904-318-7025. Or you can call her on her cell at 904-627-7793. And she's licensed, bonded, insured, all this kind of thing. Got a Don's number, a cage code. She got everything on her business card. So you can get a hold of her again at 904-318-7025 or 904-627-7593. 7793. Get a hold of her and let her come and give you an estimate on your stuff. And a matter of fact, she's coming over and fix under my kitchen sink. The flooring down there, she's going to redo that for me. So see, Erica's a good worker, do good work. Went over to her house. She showed me an outdoor kitchen. The entire kitchen she made. She did all the upkeeps and the this and that of her own house. And she got a house for you. I'm just telling you. And she's a good contractor. So if you need something, and it don't matter where you live, because she can come to you all over the country, all over the world if necessary. So yeah, feel free to contact her. All right, no one else have anything to say? We're going to pray out and go to our last song of the morning after prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you, Lord, that you're a way maker, you're a promise keeper. We thank you this morning that you're on our side in spite of us. We thank you, Lord, that you keep lifting us up and you keep turning things over and over, around and around for the good for us. We thank you this morning, Lord, that if we stand in the need of anything, you can supply according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We come before you this morning praying that you would strengthen us as you strengthen us in faith and strengthen us in patience and strengthen us, Lord, in trusting you. And Lord, strengthen us that we can withstand the trials to get these things so that we can learn to wait on you. Stand until you come. But Father, either way it go, we can't do nothing until you come anyway. And Lord, we don't want to be outside your will. We don't want to seek man, but we want to seek you because you're the lover of our souls. Hallelujah. And you take good care of us, whether we recognize it or not. And without you, we can do nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough for all you've done for us. All you're doing for us right now and all you're going to do for us. Oh, we thank you today. We thank you. Father, I ask that you would touch and heal those that are sick today. Touch and heal in the name of Jesus. Those that are going through in their hearts, going through in their minds, touch and strengthen today. Heal, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are incarcerated in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people. Father, preachers, ask this morning that you would shield and protect Israel, Lord, from all hurt, harm, or danger. Jerusalem, oh God, move by your spirit. Send your protecting angels, God, to stand watch. Hallelujah, to shield and protect. Bless America and the leadership. Remember our brothers and sisters overseas everywhere. Lord, strengthen the day. And God, tonight as I have Bible study in Pakistan. Lord, I ask that you would move in a mighty way. Teach us your way, God, not our way and what we think, but according to your word. Lord, stir your people up before we get to the Bible study. Open up their eyes and their minds for wisdom, oh God. Open up their souls and hearts to you, not to me, but to you, Father, that they would receive your word in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all you're doing right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 18th, 2022, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know of it here. GP! I feel like having some church up. against me shall prosper. A Lord than a conqueror. Can I get a witness up in here?
GP, are you with me? Oh, yeah, we got a church ain't going nowhere. What?
God told me something.
Don't go to the screen
because you don't see it right now. All right. We're going to go through something before you get to what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Careful to be because that might not be from God.
Okay.
You got to know it ain't man.
Okay.
Until I became unemployed, no job and no husband, and walked out the full dealership with a brand new car, didn't ask nobody for nothing, and I didn't have to have no down payment.
Oh, shut up.